As many as you know, I became a believer as a Marxist activist when I went into a library to prepare to debate a Christian and read The Evidence of the Resurrection by Josh McDowell and be saying, oh, so overwhelmingly convinced on the basis of the evidence that Jesus had risen from the dead that I left the library the most surprised Christian in London. And that's how I came to faith in Yeshua. I only discovered my Jewish identity really a few months later. But why did Jesus rise from the dead? Well, I mean, the second big theological truth that really hit me was thinking, well, the reason why Jesus rose from the dead rather than stayed in the grave is that, unlike us, he's not a descendant of Adam and Eve. He's not subject to the fall. You can't keep him down in the grave. And in a sense, Jesus's resurrection is a perfect reflection and a logical consequence of his eternal nature. Jesus is eternal. That's why Mary had a virgin birth. Rather than being a created being, Jesus came down from heaven where he existed pre-existently. Jesus came down from heaven for 33 years to perform a particular specific task before raising from the dead triumphant over sin, sickness, and death. Jesus's resurrection is because he was eternal. Therefore, if you kill him, he doesn't stay in the grave, he raises from the dead. And this morning, as we approach the end of the year, as we approach Hanukkah and Christmas, I want to discuss the eternal nature of Jesus. I want to start with Colossians 1, verses 15 to 20. Colossians 1, 15 to 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all holds together. He is the head of the body, the church, and in the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for him to have the fullness dwell through in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through his blood on the cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Jesus is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of all creation. Going to share a couple of words of Greek. The Greek for image is icon. And an icon is something which is an exact representation. A perfect copy, having the same chemistry and composition. Jesus is the icon of the invisible God. Whatever there is in God the Father, there is Jesus. They're made of the same stuff, they have the same basic chemistry. He is the firstborn of all creation. Greek can in some ways be a more specific language than English. We know of the word prototype, meaning the first of which is created and all the others are copies of it. But a protokos is a slightly different Greek word. A protokos is the first of things copied from it, but the things copied from it are not the same as the thing that everything is created from. A prototype is identical. A Protocos is not. He is the firstborn of all creation. He is the Protocos of creation. When Jesus came down to earth in the form of a man, he joined creation. He existed beforehand, and he was qualitatively different. When Jesus walked on the earth, he was qualitatively different than the world he came to save. He was eternal and he was perfect, whereas the world is transient. Things decay and pass away because they're imperfect and affected by the fall. Jesus is the icon of the invisible God and the protocos of all creation, for by him all things are created. God the Father may have been the architect of creation, the person whose idea it was, but Jesus was the chief engineer who actually brought it about. By him, all things were created. He's the chief engineer in creation. Both the heavens and the earth, visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, even the greatest things on earth are created through Jesus. All things have been created through him and for him. Jesus is the chief engineer. He is the active part of the creator, but also it's for him. Being the chief engineer glorifies Jesus himself. As well as being the head of creation, surprise, surprise, Jesus is also the head of the church. He's the head of the body, the church, from the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. We will only raise from the dead because Jesus, the firstborn, rose from the dead. We will only have eternal life because Jesus defeated sin, sickness, and death and rose from the grave. He is in the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. So in he himself will come to have the first place in everything. Everybody will eventually recognize who Jesus is. The choice is whether you do it voluntarily now or out of reluctant compulsion later on. And I would advise people to be saved to do it voluntarily now. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. And through him, he reconciled all things to himself, having made peace through his blood on the cross, whether things on earth or heaven. The only way that our fallen nature can be cancelled out is through what Jesus did on the cross, making peace through his blood. Jesus had to die so that we can join him in eternal life. Jesus is the Saviour as well as the Lord. Want to look slightly earlier in the New Testament to a few verses in Philippians 2. Philippians is the book before Colossians. It goes Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I always remember that order by thinking of General Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, GEPC. Philippians chapter 2, and I'm going to read from verse 5. Have this attitude in yourself, which was in Christ Jesus. Although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above all names. Have this attitude which Jesus had. doesn't mean that we are like him in many, 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 many ways, but do have the same attitude, an attitude of humility. For although Jesus existed in the form of God, and my final word of Greek this evening is the word for form, which is morphē, which is an exact copy. Although he was the exact copy of God the Father, he did not regard equality with him as a thing to be grasped. Jesus was so humble, and that humility was shown by the fact that even though Jesus had the same morphē as God the Father, he didn't find it something that he needed to demonstrate, cling on to, make known. But instead of that, he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. It is so humbling for Jesus to take the form of man and come to earth as a human being when he is co-equal with God the Father, the chief engineer in creation, eternal and divine. A phenomenal act of humility. Being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. But when he did die on the cross, so his blood could be poured out for our redemption, God the Father highly exalted him and gave him the name above every name. Sooner or later, as I said, everybody and everything will have to recognize Jesus as the eternal Son of God who died to restore creation from the fall. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Everyone will eventually know and have to admit it. But as I said, I rather people were saved from death, and I'd rather people became born again and did it voluntarily now rather than out of compulsion when it is too late. It says at the beginning of Genesis, let there be light, and creation happened. Creation happened through light being there. The theory of relativity, which is the basis of modern physics, says that all forms of energy and matter can be transferred from one to the other. That is why we can burn gas in order to heat food. Mass and energy can be transposed between each other. But ultimately, the theory of relativity says that ultimately everything regresses to light. For a few years, I was the traveling secretary of Christian Academic Network, and my job was to travel around the country to universities and give pastoral and professional support to Christian academics. And I came across one guy who he was a miner's son from Yorkshire, but he ended up being the head of engineering at Cambridge University, a very bright guy called John. John became a believer because he thought, well, the theory of relativity says that ultimately everything regresses to light, and light is above, below, light is before all other things. Einstein worked that out in the 19th, 20th century. How come Moses got there 4,000 years before? Let there be light. Everything is created from light. And this view very much is reflected by the Apostle John and how he sees it. Beginning of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and that life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. In the beginning, as is in Genesis, in the beginning, before there was creation, was the Word, the Logos, which later on in John's Gospel he clearly says is Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus. Jesus was with God. Jesus was alongside his Father and the Spirit too. He was alongside God and he was God. You could, in Greek, read this as the Logos was with God and the Logos was godly. Again, having the same chemistry and composition and being as divine, in other words, totally divine as the Father. All things came into being through him, Jesus as the chief engineer of creation. Apart from him, nothing came to being that has been. Jesus was creator of everything as a chief engineer, as much so as the Father was the architect. In him was life. He is the origin of all life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus is ultimately the light of men, where you need to look to find direction, to find truth, to find salvation. But the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not comprehend it. The term in Greek meaning to comprehend could mean either to understand or to overcome. Because if you understand something, it's far easier to actually overcome it. You know what you're dealing with, it's easier to come out on top. The dark world, when Jesus came to earth, did not comprehend Jesus, did not know who he was. Even the disciples only fully understood who Jesus was when he rose from the dead, but certainly did not overcome him. When Jesus died, he rose from the dead, triumphant over sin and death. Want to share one final passage, and this one is from the Tanakh. And this is due to do with wisdom. Jesus is, as well as the light of the world, the embodiment of wisdom. And talking about wisdom in the Torah, in Proverbs 8:22, it says, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. From everlasting I was established, from the beginning, from the earliest times on the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abiding with water, before the mountains were settled and the hills were brought forth, while he had not yet made the earth or the fields, nor the first the dust, he established the heavens. I was there." Jesus, possessed by the Lord, by the Father, at the beginning of everything, before the works of Lord, before the everlasting, Jesus was there. Jesus is eternal and pre-existent as the embodiment of wisdom. When there were no depths, he was brought forth. He existed before water and mountains and everything. Instead of being part of the heavens, He established the heavens and he was there. Jesus is the eternal, pre-existent Son of God. As we approach the time of year where the church and society tends to celebrate Christmas, we should also think of the virgin birth. Unlike us, who were created in the womb through sexual intercourse between our father and our mother, when Jesus came to earth as a baby in Mary's womb, it wasn't as a result of creation or sexual intercourse. It was a transfer of 33 years, according to most scholars. And I used to think that 33 years was a bit short. I mean, surely a lot of problems in life come from being elderly, but there were so many problems in Israel at the time of Jesus with famine and earthquakes and wars. The average age of a Jewish person in Galilee at the time of Jesus was 33. In the context of his culture, Jesus actually lived a full life. But when he was in his mother's womb, when he was a fetus, Jesus was not created. It was a transfer from heaven to do a specific course of work on earth for 33 years. And in a sense, Jesus was born, came to earth. The real miracle was his conception rather than his birth. He always was. I don't want to downplay pregnancy and the problems and pains of childbirth, particularly being a man rather than a woman. I don't want to downplay the difficulties in it, but what I'm saying is that Jesus came to earth to do his job. The real miracle was his conception, more so than his birth. We are about to approach Christmas. Is it an appropriate time for the society and the church specifically to celebrate Jesus's birth? Was he really born at this time of the year? I would argue not. It says in John's Gospel that Zechariah conceived John the Zechariah had a vision from the God, from God, and that Elizabeth, his wife, conceived John the Baptist while Zechariah was officiating at the temple. And being of the order of Abiathar, it seems as if Jesus was, it seems as if Zechariah was told and Elizabeth conceived in June. June would have been the time when Abiathar of the eighth order was definitely officiating at the temple in June. Mary conceived 6 months later. So, if because Zechariah was of the order of Abiathar and therefore at the temple in June, Mary conceived in December, and she would have given birth to Jesus in the end of September during the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's one possibility. Another possibility that I looked at today was that Abiathar's order may have been also at the temple 6 months before, in which case he would have, in which case the conception of Jesus would have happened in June rather than in December, but I think December is more likely. So if Jesus was born in September and conceived in December, the church at Christmas is actually celebrating the right thing, if only for the wrong reason. It's when Jesus was conceived rather than when Jesus was born. September would have been a good time for to think that it would have been when Jesus was born. For a first thing, all the lambs that were born usually in either March or September. Also, the Romans tended to do their censuses at the end of September. Why? Because the beginning of September was the main harvest festival. You wanted people to be moving around after all of the harvest has been taken in so that your census doesn't cause a famine. And also because it's the Feast of Tabernacles, people would have been mobile anyway. So by all means, celebrate Christmas. As you approach this period of time, remember that we only got to December 25th because the Vatican wanted to take over a pagan festival and also thought that it would be a good idea to celebrate the birth of Jesus during the winter solstice. But it's probably the time he was conceived rather than the time he was born. But it was the time in which he came to earth. Do celebrate Jesus independently from the traditions. When Mary and I lived in New York for 5 years, when I was on the faculty of the Feinberg Institute, which is the world's first Messianic Jewish graduate school, which is in New York, everybody on our side of the street was Jewish and everybody on the other side of the street was Italian. And the Italians had very small back front gardens, but because property is so expensive in New York, even more so in London. And so they tended to put the nativity scene and and Santa Claus in the same space. So you had Father Christmas and the reindeer coming in order to offer presents to the Virgin Mary, which would really confuse the Jews on the other side of the street. I think it's good at this time of year, if you want to celebrate Jesus coming to earth, to actually not confuse it with the traditions. Do appreciate the traditions if you want to, but the important thing is that Jesus came to earth. And whether he was born at this time of the year, I think it's more likely that he was conceived. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. And the fact that he was eternal meant that he was sinless. And the fact that he was sinless meant that when he was executed cruelly on the cross, he could raise from the dead triumphant over sin, sickness, and death. Because death was not upon him. You can't keep him down. He will rise from the dead because he's divine and eternal. I think this is the time of year where Jesus was probably conceived. But right or wrong, recognize his eternal nature. His eternal nature is why he was born of a virgin, why he lived a sinless, perfect life, not being subject to the fall, and why, when he was killed, he defeated death. Because he existed before death. He existed before life. He is the light of the world. He is a source of life. And he is the perfect one, having the same chemistry as the Father. Think Mary wants to sing something? Yeah. Hand over to Mary. Yeah.